The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, we're constantly bombarded with the message that it's a changing world. There's uncertainty for Europe on where we stand with the US. New alliances between the likes of China and Russia and tariffs taking their toll. But where do business standards or ethics even lie in this volatile world? Professor Thomas Donaldson, one of the world's leading experts on business ethics, was in Ireland this week at the invitation of Trinity Business School. Professor Donaldson, you've been hired and you've done consultancy for a lot of institutions like the IMF and the World Bank, but also private sector companies in tech, pharma, banking and big oil. Do they tend to call in a guy like you when they've got in trouble already or something? Is that part of the beating of the chest as to what's gone wrong afterwards?
Yes, people like me are very popular in the midst of a moral hurricane. And what you often find yourself doing is winning your way through the rubble of what happened. And one of the ironies there is that corporations attack the problem from the standpoint of appearances instead of the underlying reality. So they put in place ethics training. They put in place ethics codes. People get plexiglass statues that celebrate certain values. But what often happens is the underlying structure, the basic strategy of the company, and the discussions held discreetly in the inner circle of the upper ranks of management, not so much at the board level, because the board doesn't tend to generate strategy, but those tend to persist. So here's an irony. We actually find often there's a correlation between having more sort of ethics initiatives in a company and bad behavior. And what we suspect is that the ones that have the most paraphernalia are the ones that have had the most problems in the past. And so the paraphernalia basically just reflects the ongoing disease, ethical disease inside the company.
Inevitably, the tone around ethics comes from the top in an organization. If you take the United States, the US President Donald Trump is a businessman as well. Many would question the ethics of many of his deals, even since he's been elected. What would you say to that in relation to the tone that that sets for corporate America?
Well, I would like to think that few CEOs in America are taking Donald Trump as their exemplar. For if
he's
they
commander in chief, and he's he's running the show.
Yes. No, I mean, we have a problem. I'm reminded of Oscar Wilde's characterization of one man. He said, "The man is sort of like a sofa who retains for a while the imprint of the rear of the person that sat for a while." And increasingly, it seems with Trump that what comes out of his mouth is actually the words out of the mouth of the last person that he spoke to. That's not consistent good leadership.
What about those around him? I'm thinking about some of the business deals that have been done by his wider family. What do you think about those and issues that that might raise? Because again, you get into the realm of what is legal, what is regulated, what is allowed on the one hand. And on the other hand, there can be grey areas about what seems like a conflict of interest.
The law is vague here, actually, with respect to the president in terms of gifts, for example, that can be accepted. The Constitution probably didn't envision a $500 million jet being handed by another country to a sitting president. But I think on the moral level, it's quite clear. Anybody in the White House has a responsibility to not use that office to the advantage of either his personal financial fortunes or those of his family. And I think a lot of significant questions can be raised about what's happening right now in the Trump administration.
In that dichotomy between regulation and law and what companies can or cannot do versus perhaps what they should do. A lot of big corporations now operate on a global scale, and there are different laws and different rules in different jurisdictions. Should they adapt their ethics to the market that they're in, or should it be something that represents more uniform principles?
The short answer is there are some instances in which we probably should give way, and there are other instances in which we shouldn't. I mean, in general, good advice to a company is you must, in all instances, follow the laws of the country that you're doing business in. But consider the case of South Africa that occurred decades ago. There was actually a law that implemented segregated washroom facilities between colored and non-colored. Most of the big companies, big multinationals, disobeyed the law in that instance, and they did so rightly.
You talk as well, Tom, about an old Eurocentric approach to ethics, and there are changes around that when you look at the influence of other countries in Asia, like China, and their approach to ethics. What is happening there? Is the Eurocentric approach that was more dominant beginning to fade away?
Yes, I feel very strongly that we're in the midst of a new world order, and what's happened is that we now live in a world that's multipolar, and it is encouraging a shift to what might be called a multi-parity world. Now, by multipolarity, I mean a concept that has to do with strategic competition among great powers, competition for dominance in commerce and in military affairs. From 1945, the end of World War II, onwards, we lived until 1990 in a bipolar world. The Soviet Union and the U.S. were the two great powers. And then we entered a period from about 1990 to 2017 that has been referred to as the unipolar moment. And that was a period in which the U.S. effectively was the hegemon and was dominant throughout the world. But beginning in about 2017, the year when Trump assumed the presidency, we were at a stage where already 4 years before that, China had reached equality with the U.S. in terms of aggregate purchasing power parity. Their commercial power was dominant. Right now, China's military power is rising dramatically. The thing to notice about these three different situations is that bipolarity is fairly stable, unipolarity is difficult to maintain, and multipolarity, the world we're in right now, is very much prone to conflict. So we are in a situation prone to conflict. And here's the takeaway for ethics. When those strategic relationships change, countries and cultures feel emboldened to return to their indigenous moral frameworks. And we see this happening right now.
Where does that leave ethics, Tom?
Well, it leads us to a situation where there are problems that many, many powerful corporations confront that don't have answers in the books that we hand to students in business schools. So I'll give you one example. When the Ukraine war was unfolding, there were requests to Meta to relax hate speech provisos to allow people to say, go out and kill Russians, even if the Russians were not soldiers. That can't be ducked. They either will or won't relax those policies, and there is no book of marketing or strategy in the world that can give them an answer to that question. Now, in the end, I mean, in this case, they actually did relax the proviso, which was very controversial. But my point is not whether that was a good or bad decision, but that these questions can't be ducked.
The role of business ethics in the corporate world, I can imagine a situation. Do you find yourself down the end of the queue? I can see a situation where a CEO says, get my CFO in here, get my lawyers in, get my lobbyists in here now. Are they ever going to say, get my business ethics advisor in here right now?
Well, I hope they don't do that. I mean, unfortunately, to some extent, that has happened in the sense that some corporations appoint ethics officers. And when a problem emerges, it's go down and talk with Charlie. He's the ethics officer. No, I hope that doesn't happen. The raw truth, and this especially pertains to the U.S., is that many times CEOs should, although they do not, kick lawyers out of the room. And they need to attend to the values that define them in terms of their identity. When Johnson & Johnson hit the Tylenol crisis, a crisis in which it looked like their profits could be absolutely destroyed unless they did certain things, lawyers advised them to do many things. Outside marketers advised them to do many things. They advised them to not pull the product from the consumer. It was a product that might have been poisoned, even by somebody inside Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson met in a room, and everybody knew what the answer would be because they adhered to the J&J credo, which has as its first principle not profits, but the health of the customers. Now, that was a long time ago, but it was a majestic kind of instance where corporate leaders turn to their fundamental values to make a strategic decision.
Professor Tom Donaldson from the University of Pennsylvania, thank you very much for joining us on the program. Tom was in Dublin this week at the invitation of Trinity, FTI Consulting, and Mason Hayes Curran.